And my message is, rest your hope in God. Our text will be Psalms 16, verses 8 through 11. Psalmist David is saying, I've set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And we just kind of had a little of that. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Loving Father, thank you for this moment in God. Thank you for so loving us, and thank you for leading us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. That what oftentimes feels like a passage, Lord, of doom or gloom is actually a path of your righteousness, Lord, as you, Lord, allow us to be co-sufferers with you. And as you let us know, this world hated you, and so will they hate us. And we just want to thank you so much for the high privilege of the high calling in Christ that we have. And so we ask you today, Lord God, to spread your wings over this flock, Lord God. And Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to gather us unto yourself, Lord, and these times we're in, and we pray that, God, you begin to visit us with miracles and and signs and wonders. We want to see your glory. And, God, we would ask you, even as Moses asked you, Lord God, and you said you would hide him in the rock and you'll pass over him. Lord, today we know that we are in the rock of Christ Jesus. And we ask you to continue to pass your glory over us, Lord. Father, we do believe this is an hour, Lord God, that the church will shine in the earth. And we just thank you for your visitation this day in Jesus' name. We pray that you take these words, Father, and that you let your Holy Spirit interpret to each one of us that special message that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A strong, positive hope is an absolute necessity for Christ's followers today. The times we are in are times of intense spiritual warfare, and the hope of many is no longer resting confidently in God. The climate and spirit of the age is one of great stress, pressure, and demonic harassment and oppression. As the reign of evil seizes greater and greater control of our nation and world, more and more self-styled Christians are failing and falling prey to the schemes of the enemy as he interferes with their moving forward in the Lord. And moving forward out of the moral and spiritual quagmires that he so deceptively and deceivingly manipulated them into. Many of the negative and bad decisions being made by people in government that affect, threaten, and challenge our lives are being made by people in government under the influence of evil powers. Consider what the Apostle Paul says to us today in Ephesians 6, 10 to 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I might just speak a little bit about these verses as I go through, but he was saying here essentially an awareness of God's strength and his might in our lives engenders a stable hope and trust that God will somehow cause everything to be all right and to work out for our good. We see in Romans 8:28 where the Apostle Paul says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So, saints, by the presence and the power of God's Holy Spirit working in our lives, we are able to rise up and successfully overcome the grievous challenges that we face in our lives. The noted John Curson said, God will never ask us to do what he does not enable us to do. If we choose to believe him for it and obey him in it, how are we to be strong? He will make us strong. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, Paul writes in verse 11 of that chapter 6 of Ephesians. Put on that whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the evil one. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We can stand against the wiles of the devil, that is, against the clever and cunning attacks of Satan, only to the degree that we are protected with the whole armor of God. That is the spiritual armor of God's truth, his righteousness, his peace, his faith, his salvation, and the piercing two-edged sword of God's rhema word, and the supernatural power of the weapon of all kinds of prayer. Yeah. Amen. We need the sword of the word. We need the two-edged knife of God's word, you know, working in our lives. And we can wield it against the enemy at any time. Amen. He hates the blood and he hates the word. Amen. And so I want you to use those weapons lavishly. Pray. Pray. Pray and stay in the word. When it comes to us fighting our good fight of faith, someone said we can't lose with the stuff we use. Amen. Speaking of the empowering gifts of God's Holy Spirit and the holy weapons of our warfare that we have in God. And that assurance is stabilizing and is a stabilizing and a source of great hope and encouragement for us in facing our enemies of worry, fear, doubt, unbelief, and literally the spirits of our enemy, the devil and his minions. God will never ask us again, we heard, to do what he does not enable us to do. If we choose to believe him for it and obey him in it. He says, life is not a playground, but a battleground. And the reason so many in the church are weak and is because they are not armed for the battle. In the test of life, there are times in which we all will experience the need for a fresh download of God's assurance. Amen. Every one of us, the time will come and you'll need another baptism of grace. you know, and the strength from God as you face the battles that you are facing. And we face less, the more, and we grow weary and weary, and we lose hope in what we may be, what may be a vital time for us in the worst of times. Amen. We have a vital time of conflict against the enemy, and when in the worst of times, when you think that we ought to be slaughtered and lose, thank God that He hears us when we cry out, you know. Now, because of the volume and the intensity of evil that is now unleashed in our world, and all that which Jesus said is yet to come, Christians must be strong in their confidence, in their faith, and in their hope, secure in it, in God. There's a boldness and a strength that comes upon those who so look to God and hold to His unchanging hand. The presence of a strong hope in God strengthens and secures the believer's grip on all that which is holy, good, and true of God in his life. Especially in a day when many are departing from the faith and giving in to what Paul in 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2 testifies as deceiving spirits. It reads, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times," these are the latter times, "some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." The absence of hope brings weakness and will stifle and shut down an effectual Christian life. Concerning the latter days, Jesus in Matthew 24, 12 and 13 said, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved." Amen. Amen. Don't stop fighting in the front of the line. Cut on through to the end. Cut through a whole swath of them. Amen. Wielding your sword like they did in the old times, you know. We must press into God and experience His assurance that somehow everything will be all right for God's saints. Again, as we look at Matthew 24, we see there a chapter where Jesus had much to say prophetically about coming world events that will land, that will probably lead into the last days and the end of the age. He said much that is descriptive of our day and times. He spoke of the grave suffering the world would undergo. And he stated the mindset and attitude essential for believers to successfully navigate such perilous times and to endure. A positive mindset stirred and encouraged by a renewed hope in God, and that is informed by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, is working in our lives. Amen. Positive mindset is stirred up and is encouraged by God. That will bring the life and power of God to bear against everything that fosters hopelessness, despair, and defeat in our lives. And that questions God's willingness to give us the ability to overcome. Hoping God will build in your spirit man the stuff that will strengthen and enable you to subdue, uproot, and replace the stuff of this life that weakens and destroys. That weakens and destroys your spiritual effectiveness and readiness of mind, namely your ability to be strong, hopeful, and overcoming. God, in creating man in His image, made it a part of our nature to dream, to think creatively, and to create for ourselves also. But being born again, partaking of God's divine nature, being filled with His Spirit, and walking in Christ enables you to maintain a firm grip on your hope and trust in God that you are securely positioned in Christ's victory. Sufficiently secured to have the anointed mind of Christ, to receive the strength and inspiration of His Holy Spirit, and to draw daily from the wisdom of the Creator. So what seems hopeless, saints, for the believer is never, ever hopeless as long as God lives in him. Yes. And he is confidently resting his hope in God. Hope that is not resting, however, is that hope that is not firmly planted, that is not firmly rooted in God. It's hope that is that's unstable. It's unstable in the sense that, like a weather barometer in a storm, its readings are up, always up and down, ever changing as the climate of one's social, mental, emotional, and psychological life events vary all over the place. As the winds of adversity blows, the hope barometer is just up and down and all flapping in the wind all over the place. That's just what it means to be human, I suppose. But somehow, our hope as children of the Most High God must rest in God. As you do life, your hope needle may tend to rise and fall, some in times of difficulty, rather. If we become too concerned with the cares of this life, may God help us not to become overwhelmed with it all and cause our hope to be shaken and our peace get away from us. I feel led to encourage you to let the heartstrings of your faith, like the tentacles of a giant octopus, encircle and grip the solid rock of your salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. Get the picture. Get the picture, amen, of the rock of Christ, and your heartstrings, your faith, just gripping and overwhelming that and getting all that you need from Him. I remember Matthew 16, 13 and 19. I want you to remember that. He said, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do you say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said, but who do you say that I am? So whether in a crisis of conflict, a fierce fight of faith, or the severity of a superstorm, you must always know who Jesus Christ is to you. Yes, amen? That's right. Amen. Psalms 16:8-11 reads, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. So in that verse, the key to the believer's hope always being secure and never in danger of being washed away is in fact he is always setting the Lord before him. Yes. Amen. Yes. And in verse 9, it says, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. And I would say to you that such a believer becomes skillful and recovering from the hits from the enemy. Though when he rests his hope in God, he doesn't live broken down from the blows of the enemy, but retreats to his God for healing, counsel, and encouragement. His hope is always resting in God. No black and blue marks from always flapping in the wind. Amen. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, in verse 10 it says, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. And of course, the reference here is to the resurrection of the crucified Christ. And it carries profound meaning that our God won't leave you some proverbial grave spiritual defeat. Amen. He won't leave you there. And in verse 7 it says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So, saints, I say, such a worshiper is attracted to the presence of his Lord, one who sets the Lord before him and one who diligently seeks him. And that the Lord is always very much welcome in his heart, in his life, in his presence. So, though our hope occasionally flaps in the wind of adversity, never, ever, under any condition, cut loose the moorings that anchor your hope in Jesus, no matter what. No matter what. As I think about these kinds of events, I think about that old hymn we used to sing, "In Times Like These." Amen. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. That rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus. In fact, the only one. Be very sure. Be very, very, very sure. Your anchor holds. Your anchor holds. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure. I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure. Oh, saints, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Hallelujah. I had no idea we were going to try that. So my encouragement to you is to rest your hope in God. In the God you know loves you and cares for you. In verse 16 of that Matthew chapter, Peter answers Jesus' question, "But who do you say that I am?" And he exclaimed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And so I said, your conviction of Jesus' divine nature, His birth and His salvific purpose for coming into the world, is the consequence of the divine revelation with which God's Holy Spirit touched you and enable you to see this mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, and to understand it and to receive it. And in Hebrews 3:1, the writer 3:11-3, the writer tells us that it is by faith that we understand the things of God. And Romans 10:10 and 10:17 reads this way: "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And in verse 18 of Matthew 16, Jesus went on to say to Peter, "And I say to you that you are Peter, Petros, a piece of rock, or a stone." You may have heard this Greek explained at some point before. And then he goes and says, but on this rock, talking about himself, it's the words that Peter spoke when he said, "Thou art," but it's the reality of who Christ is. He said, "But on this rock," and I can imagine him talking about him, that word is not Petros, but Petra, meaning a mass of rock or a projecting cliff or a crag of a rock. He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." So Jesus essentially illustrated the difference in the kingdoms built by men, even the strong stone men like Peter, and the one he, the Christ, the Son of the living God, would build using men. So again, in our times of struggle, and we will all have them, as I said, but in those times, don't forget in your heart of hearts who Jesus really is to you. I say it again. Many will forget, but don't let it happen to you.
That's right.
Don't let it happen to you. Remember, he is the best you will ever meet. The best you will ever meet. Jesus Christ is the best you will ever meet. Amen. Because he is in you, bringing the glory of himself forth and manifesting his life force, his divine nature, and his eternal kingdom in you. As you go forth, be all that God intended and designed you to be. Amen. In Matthew 24, going to verse 6 to 13, I will be approaching closing shortly, I believe. "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars," said Jesus. "See that you are not troubled." See that you are not troubled. "For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved." I remember saying some things last Sunday about, you know, the Hebrew view of the text. And because Matthew 24 is a passage that is written heavily to Jews. And so, but in a sense, Jesus telling what's going to occur in many of their histories. And I wanted to make sure I clarified to you that the rabbi of last week's listened to the 15-year-old boy's dream, a vision going to heaven rather, and I said, it seems like he was talking about Armageddon, but then I realized that the wars that are going on and the things that are setting up now and the battles that will occur before they invade Israel very easy could suffice for those little wars that are to occur. And that could very well be Armageddon when they invade Israel. That will be Armageddon when they invade Israel. And so I want to make that clarifying point in that I was touching this one. Now, conclusion. God wants you to have hope in your life. Your hope in God is a stabilizing force of divine power that's been given to you as a believer. The Christian's hope, it has its roots in God. Rest your hope there and keep it there. God doesn't want you hopeless, but positive and believing, looking to Him and trusting in Him. It is the devil who wants you hopeless, because it weakens you in every way, makes you negative, and tears down your resistance. It is your hopeful reliance upon your Heavenly Father that makes you resilient in the storms and able in the adversities of life. May God ever strengthen you and bless you, and we all together, as we stand together, rank, and press the battle on. Amen?
Amen.
Rest your hope in God. He's dependable. God will take care of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless His name. Bless His name. Amen. To God be the glory. Oh.